Whether you're into running or running or running or running or running that's actually mostly walking, running with the Peloton Tread isn't just one thing. From walks and hikes to sprint intervals, we have classes for every level and instructors to support you all the way through. Whatever you're in the mood for, we can get you in the zone. See for yourself with a 30-day home trial. Visit onepeloton.com/home-trial. Terms apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 28th day of September. Right? Boy, I'm going to tell you, this year is going by fast. 2023, and tonight we have on the board, he's ready, he's qualified, he's got his eyes on my seat right here to be the longest running, and of course, I know that I'm his hero, right? None other than style for a while.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, there you go. And right here, pretty much near live with me, right here in the studio, he's an old-timer, not as old as I am, but he's an old-timer. Not only that, he's a cook. He does our cooking on Thursday mornings at our Thursday morning prayer breakfast. Maybe we should call him Cookie. But he is none other than Randall, not gay.
Be blessed and also stress everybody.
All right, there you go. And we have a very special guest tonight from way out yonder over, well, just across the border a little ways, Brother Bill Ogden. Hey, Bill.
Howdy, Pastor.
Howdy. You ready to go with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. If you got a King James Bible close by, grab it, because we're going to get right into the message, and then we're going to get into a whole lot of stuff tonight. So we're going to take it away with tactical civics, too, and give the folks an education and a way out of this mess that the left has got us into. And we're going to start tonight in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 8. Randy, read verse 8 through 16.
1 Kings.
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, did I say 2 Kings?
Yeah, you said 2nd, yeah.
Well, I meant 1 Kings.
Okay, that's okay.
So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with a seal, sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders, the nobles, who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king, and then they carried him out forth of the city, stoned him with stones that he died. And then they set, then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came.
Well, okay, there. That's it. It's just through 16. We'll stop right there.
Okay.
Now, here, what we've been doing is we've been going through the Bible. Now, what we've been talking about, let's take a look. Like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, right?
That's right.
Now, we're going to take a look, and Bill, you too, if you happen to see an analogy where you see a resemblance to the days we're living in that day. Now, here, Jezebel goes, and she decides to go get, she tells corrupt politicians, very corrupt politicians, you know, people as corrupt as Mary Garland, people as corrupt as Christopher Wray, okay, people that are so corrupt in the government, she tells them to go and get two sons of Belial. Now, the sons of Belial were what? What were they?
They were perverted people, homosexuals, as well as
occultists. They were involved in witchcraft. They right. were, in fact, we referred to is that not to let them live. Thou shalt not suffer to let them live. So you had the sons of Belial here, and Jezebel says, bring in false witnesses against him. Bring in false witness against him. Now, how would that apply with someone named Hillary and Russia? Just jump in there, Bill, whenever you want. How would do we see a significant similarity? Define.
Significant?
Yeah, go ahead.
Biblical, historical. Corrupt politician and big business going after the little people to take their land. Frank and Jesse and their mama. Lincoln County War. Billy the Kid. Bundy's out in Nevada facing Harry Reid and the Chinese. Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. Randy Weaver. And he was a friend of mine, Randy Weaver was. And, so, yeah, so here you see now Jezebel gets these corrupt politicians. Hillary gets corrupt politicians. She gets these corrupt people, and they bring false charges against President Trump. They're continuing to bring false now, Jezebel, she had these, actually 850 Baal prophets, and 400 of them ate at her table. They ate at her table. Which means what took place at Jezebel's table was total corruption, orgies, gluttony. It was total corruption. And here now, we had a list of people that we referred to this week. We read about James McDougal. I stood in front of his house in Clinton Head. He was virtually kept a prisoner in his own house before they killed him in the prison. Mary Mahoney, she was the one who was about, she was going to drop a dime on Bill Clinton for going after her with sexual harassment because she wouldn't go with him. Vince Foster, we know what happened to Vince Foster. We were the very first ones to report on that. Ron Brown, we were the first people right here on this radio program in the entire world to break the story on Ron Brown. And now Victor Reiser, he was a major player in the Clinton fundraising organization. He died in a very, very, very mysterious plane wreck. All right? Now, it seemed to be, people seemed to have a tendency, people that could cause the Clintons a problem to die in a train wreck. And then you had Paul Tooley. He was the Democratic National Committee political director. He was found dead in his hotel room in Little Rock. And they say he committed suicide. And then you had, well, Ed Wiley. Now, Ed Wiley, he was the husband of Kathleen Wiley. Kathleen Wiley was one of the women who wanted to go with Kathy Ferguson. Remember, she was going to have that. Bill, Kathy Ferguson was going to, they were going to have her testify, her and Kathleen Wiley and a number of these women who were going to Paula Jones. They were going to testify against Bill Clinton, molesting them, so on and so forth. And what had happened with her, I had had her on the radio program. She called in on this radio program to announce that they were going to have a press conference and all of these women were going to come forward. And I says, what you've done now, Kathy, and this, I think, was on a Thursday night, and this was to take place on Saturday. Well, I said, Kathy, since you've said that, whatever it is you know, say it right now, live on the radio. Say it. Get it out, Kathy. Kathy, if you don't do this, listen to me. Now, Larry Nichols was right there with me. He said, you listen to Pastor Kathy. He knows what he's saying. You listen to him. Whatever it is you know, say it, and say it now, because, Kathy, if you don't, you won't be here come Saturday night, okay?
That's very true.
Well, Kathy says, but Pastor, believe me, we know what we're doing. I said, no, you don't. Well, guess what happened on Friday night? They found her in her apartment with a bullet hole. Now, how many women, you know, use a gun to commit suicide? Placed in the back of her head, and a bullet come out her forehead, folks. That don't happen. She was sitting on the couch. Somebody come up from behind her and shot her, okay? And so here, we take a look at this. We take a look at how Jezebel, when she wanted somebody dead, and what did she do? She put a contract on Elijah, too. But she killed all of the Lord's prophets, of Yahweh's prophets. It's killed as many as she could. She was a wicked woman. And all of the people that worked in there told me that all of the killings were done by Hillary. Hillary was behind all of the killings. And now, what did Hillary say come out? And I heard her say it. If Bill Clinton gets back in office, that we're all going to hang. This is what she was saying now. She's been so brazen, and I know I've said this before, but the reason she's so brazen, the reason that she took hammers and smashed her cell phones, that she gave acid bath to the hard drives, did all of this, which was 200-something thousand emails they destroyed, and she did it defiantly because she knew that she had all of the heads of all the agencies, the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, all of them got a payday. They all got a payday, all the top people. And Hillary had everything. Well, now, guess who has all of that information? None other than our president, Donald Trump. And so all of this information he has. And so here now, this is why they're so concerned. He's got the names and all of that. And so when we take a look at this and we see how there's nothing much new under the sun, is there?
No, it's the same thing over and over again.
Over and over again. Well, because of what we have to cover tonight, we're going to move a little quickly. We're going to end that there, and I'm going to pick it up and finish this off tomorrow. But I wanted to, we're going to do two things. We've got a clip we're going to play. Bill, listen to this clip because it really is about what we're all about, why we have tactical civics, what is really the purpose. So go ahead and play the clip.
Restructuring of Canadian mayors and municipalities under the auspices of the United Nations began in 1992. PM Mulroney signed Canada onto UN Agenda 21. Canada thus became a UN member nation state. 178 countries signed on, lured by the promise of big money to go green. By 2000, countries, including Canada, were being governed by directions of the UN, G7, G20, World Economic Forum, and World Health Organization, to name some. Every organization named is a foreign-based NGO, non-governmental organization, and every member of all these organizations is unelected. Parliamentary procedures for law changes weren't followed. In 1994, a municipal primer was issued to all local towns outlining how they were to restructure their governments. Though the municipal primer was a non-binding agreement, all towns adopted it. Our public officials, the mayor and councillors of that day, were partnered with a private corporation, the Corporation of the Town of Aurora, who appointed a chief administrative officer who helped implement the global agenda instead of a local one. The International Council on Local and Environmental Issues, ICLEI, became the main source of consultation to push and fund the global agenda. We remind you that the World Economic Forum and the United Nations signed a strategic partnership framework in 2019 to jointly accelerate the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. This is the same World Economic Forum whose chairman, Klaus Schwab, famously declared, "You will own nothing and be happy." This is the same Klaus Schwab who, referring to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, boasted, "We have penetrated more than half of his cabinet." We would ask Mayor Maracas and the councillors, why should the citizens of Aurora bow down to the intrusive dictates of an unelected foreign entity? The fact is, we should not, and we will not. What, you ask, does any of this have to do with 15-minute smart cities? Absolutely everything. SMART, S for surveillance, M for monitoring, A for analysis, R for reporting, and T for technology. Technology News editor Patrick Wood, 50 years of experience and expertise on technocracy, wrote, "The 15-minute city is a cover for data collection bonanza for technocrats who design and operate them. Cities designed for maximum efficiency always reveal technocrat thinking that efficiency itself is the goal. Maximum surveillance allows for maximum control to achieve even more efficiency. At its very root, this mechanistic thinking is anti-human. The 15-minute city narrative seeks to fool you in the guise of saving the planet, keeping you safe, and delivering convenience. It's actually the gateway to digital IDs and CBDC, central bank digital currencies. CBDCs allow bankers and or governments to freeze your bank account because you happen to peacefully and lawfully protest and express your disagreement with government policy. Anyone remember the truckers' convoy in Ottawa, February 22, when the government of Canada invoked the Emergencies Act and froze the private bank accounts of law-abiding citizens? 15-minute cities are wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't believe the countless stories spewing forth from the 24/7 basis from the elitist captured mainstream media, all claiming to have your best interests at heart. We have been burned too many times. In reality, 24/7 surveillance through the Internet of Things inside your home, 5G and LED streetlights outside, monitoring and tracking and recording everything. Implementation of exclusion zones and geofencing to restrict movement and travel. Ability to control behaviors through military-directed energy technologies. Property and car ownership to be outlawed, evictions from farms and rural areas to go to gather people into cities. Digital passports being promulgated by the UN, World Economic Forum, and the World Health Organization are in the final stages of planning and implementation. They are tied to social credit score, which is determined by compliance to government directives. These passports control all access and all aspects of life. Digital currency is being implemented to end cash and monitor all your spending. Your digital currency will be turned off or on depending on your compliance score. UBI, Universal Basic Income, is a state-controlled allowance forcing compliance by restricting access to food, money, services, and education. All of the above will enable climate lockdowns to be implemented easily, arbitrarily, and indefinitely. The real agenda of 15-minute smart cities is to monitor and control everyone and everything. In summary, in the coming days, Council will receive an electronic info packet which will contain the text of this delegation and other items. We, the citizens of Aurora, wish to enter into a meaningful, respectful dialogue with our elected members of council on this complex, important issue. A key framework of that dialogue is a list of questions posed to council. Can council explicitly guarantee that citizens will be remain free to travel, as is their right under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms? Can council guarantee not to restrict access to essential services, medical care, bank accounts, government pensions, utilities? Most importantly, we, the citizens of Aurora, need to have the conversation with council about exiting their non-binding agreement with the private, for-profit entity known as the Corporation of the Town of Aurora. We need to turn back the page to a simpler time when open, transparent municipal government serving its citizens and working in their best interests ruled the day. We are your equal partners on this journey. Thank you.
Alrighty, here, that shows you a little bit about what we're up against. It's coming this way. Before we go any farther, though, we have two prayer requests that came in, and these are important, so I'm going to deal with them right now. We have a 93-year-old lady, her name is Corky Hickman, and she is having some real problems breathing. She's very, very, and they've asked, her family has asked for prayer. And then we have a fellow named Bobby, who is in serious condition. He overdosed on drugs, and his family has asked for prayer. So let's do it right now. Folks out there, don't forget, remember what we always tell you. Prayer is very, very important. God's word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. Those that show mercy will receive mercy. And there's power in prayer, a lot of power. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So if you would join with me as we pray for these people, then the day comes when you need prayer, you'll receive it too. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Corky, but I do know one thing. I know when it's hard to breathe, it's hard to breathe. And so I just want to hold her up and ask, Lord, that you would intervene right now and that your perfect will with her be done, Lord. If it's time to take her home, do that. But, Lord, we just would ask, because we know you're a merciful God, a very merciful God. And, Lord, if it be thy will that you would touch her and give her a complete healing, we know no matter how old she is, you can do that. And we know, too, Lord, that all you have to do is say the word and you can take away all of the discomfort, and let her breathe again. And for Bobby, we would ask, Lord, that you would intervene here in his situation as he is overdosed on drugs, and Lord, that you would remove him from those drugs. I don't know the situation. I don't know if it was accidental. I don't know if it was a purpose. I don't know if someone done it to him. But Lord, you know all of that. We want to hold him up, and we ask, Lord, that you would intercede, and your perfect will would be done on that. And as far as both Corky and Bobby and everyone listening tonight, Lord, my prayer is that you would turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things, completely and totally. We ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. And so now we're coming up to a break. Let's do the quick break, and then we'll pick it up from there. Go ahead.
This crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back.
right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make Bill Ogden tell us how we can whoop him. Hey, Bill, tell us how we can how can we whoop him there, Bill?
You going to take me off the chain? You going to turn me loose?
Yeah, yeah, you're on it. You go for it. It's up to you now.
We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means they can't be separated from us. And among these, which implies there's more than the ones listed, our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In order to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Who instituted the government we have? We did. We, the people, instituted it. By virtue of defeating the British, the mantle of government fell upon the shoulders of we, the people. We, the people, collectively are sovereign, not individually, not sovereign citizens, none of that, but collectively, we are sovereign. Civics means who's the boss. We are the boss. I listened to my friends on that piece from Canada where they talked about we're equal partners. We're not equal partners here. We're the boss. Biblically, there's several passages about when the master returns. When the master returns, he wanted to see what you did with your talents. When the master returns, there's going to be a reconciling of accounts. We are the master. Because I wanted to do farming, because you wanted to do pastoring, we wrote a job description and we hired people to do our governmenting. We call them public servants. At the federal level, the job description, we call it the Constitution, lists 17 specific functions they have assigned to them by us. Again, assigned to them by us. A person that doesn't do everything in their job description is stealing time. If they're stealing, they're a criminal. A person who exceeds their authority is stealing authority. They're a criminal. And so you have two kinds of people in government, public servants or criminals. Those are your two choices. Public servants need supervision. Criminals need consequences. I was an agriculture teacher for many years. And if I was outside of the classroom long enough, even a good kid would throw an eraser every now and then. They got to be supervised. Criminals, however, need consequences. And I'm not going to say children are criminals, but picture this. You come home, you're out in the yard talking to the neighbor, you come back in the house, the little kids are drawn with permanent marker on the wall, the 12-year-old's in the basement putting off soft explosives, and one of the teenagers says, oh, by the way, we've outlawed spanking. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what they've outlawed. I'm the parent ordained by God to raise and discipline these children. Spankings just might be in order. That's between me and my Creator in moderation and all that. I'm not going to be cruel, but I'm also not going to be buffaloed by someone who's supposed to be my subordinate. I'm a law and order parent. I'm a law and order grandparent. And what that means is where I live, we live free. We have big animals, big equipment. We shoot. We live with a certain amount of danger as part of our freedom. And I wasn't going to lose a kid to disobedience. So if I said stop, you don't take two more steps and say why. You stop. And so it becomes stop or you'll get hurt, which is the rationale. But that's also a contract. And that means if you fail to stop, I must enforce the contract lovingly, because I don't want you hurt, to get you to listen. So I trained my kids and then my granddaughters the same way. I took the granddaughters to get ice cream the one day, and the 6-year-old and 8-year-old jumped out of the car and bolted, you know how they would do. And I said, stop. One hit the ground and the other stood there sobbing because they didn't think they did anything wrong. And I said, sweetheart, you didn't do anything wrong. You listened. So too must our government public servants be kept in order. We own this place. This is our business. This is our country. We were founded and started by a group of business owners. And so ownership mentality, the hired man, the hired servant, the farmer, the owner, the guy that's running things, calling the shots, the guy that pays the bills, the guy that holds everybody else to account, that's who created this country. They being the people that get elected, do not get to tell us what to do. That's not their job. God tells us what to do, and it is up to us to do it. And so for 1,000 years, there was an entity called the Grand Jury. It existed in England. We brought it here with the English. It was here while we were colonies. It was here during the Revolution. It was here after the Revolution. It was here during the Articles of Confederation. It was here before and after the Constitution. The Grand Jury is a real thing. Tactical Civics proposes to restore the county grand jury. Restore is a really key word. That means we're going to go out to the shed and find it. We're going to bring it in and dust it off, and we're going to put it back to work. Every state has different structure on how they run their grand juries, but it is an assembly of the people to determine if sufficient cause exists to pursue criminal charges against an entity, in this case, government officials. If they're stealing, if they're corrupt, if they're abusing their power, if they're committing fraud, if they're doing things they're not supposed to do, if they're violating the job description, the Constitution, the grand jury can hold them to account. Along with that, for with a history of 800 years, is the lawful county militia. People clutch their pearls when you say militia, but they've been watching Yellowstone, where the Montana 3% has been plotting to kill John and Beth Dutton every season for a couple of years now. That's not militia. Militia is the people's law enforcement. In my part of the world, they're always quoting part of the Second Amendment. I got the right to keep and bear arms. I said, you need to learn the whole thing. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Once they get rid of the militia, of course they're going to come after the arms. But if we have militia, of course, age 16 and up, every able body in the county should be prepared to face danger. We have a similar organ around here called Volunteer Fire Department. These are volunteers who get some training on a regular basis, and when the alarm goes off, they run and get their equipment and go face danger. So to the militia. The militia in the Constitution, Article 1, Number 8, one of their duties is to call forth the militia, which means it's already in existence. If you can call it forth, it's already in existence, to enforce the laws, put down insurrection, and repel invasions, all of which would have been handy in the last couple of years. And so if the grand jury's looking into corruption and they need to, I might as well do that. They're drawn from the rolls, the voter rolls. You can volunteer. You might not get picked, but you can volunteer. We're going to get a grand jury ordinance in every county so that we have this. And they are sworn in by the judge, and then the judge leaves. They're self-operating. They operate in secret, so that nobody can go and kill their cows and influence them. You know, we don't want the criminals to try to influence the grand jury. They can investigate wherever the leads take them. I say they're like they're tracking deer. The trail goes through the swamp, you're going through the swamp, wherever it is. In the courthouse, they are equal to the judge, superior to the district attorney, superior to the sheriff. All resources of the courthouse are available to the grand jury. They can issue subpoenas. They can issue search warrants. If paid law enforcement has a conflict of interest, they're not sure they can search their boss's house or whatever it is, the militia goes. The militia works in concert with the grand jury. It is a militia of citizens, not the citizens' militia. And that's splitting hairs, but there's important hairs there to split. Once that's done, Tactical Civics is going to move on to some other projects. We're going to help get ratified America's First Right, which limits a federal congressional district to 50,000 people. Right now, there's 750,000 in every congressional district. That's why you don't know your congressman. We're going to help identify people to fill those new seats. And when they go to Washington, there won't be anywhere for them to meet. There's no buildings or office space big enough for 6,800 people. They're going to get sworn in a football stadium or something. And then we want them to pass the Bring Them Home Act, where Congress meets from their district offices. They can live and work among the people that elect them. No more townhouse in Alexandria. No more boyfriend, girlfriend on the side. No more fancy cocktail parties with lobbyists and such. You want to meet with a lobbyist? You do it at the diner in town. We'll watch you. We'll put it in the paper. We can term limit them. We can hire them for half the money, give them two computers. If pastor has to testify before Congress, he can get down to the district office and use the computer. Once that's done, we have about 15 or 18 other things we want to do, like Department of Energy, gone, Department of Education, gone, EPA, gone, all unconstitutional. None of them should be there. Federal government ownership of lands, especially out west, done. We're going to fix that, and so on. So I call it a Christmas wish list of things we want to do. The problem you described with Hillary Clinton et al., and we can do it historically, going forwards or backwards, it's just the nature of man. In Romans 1, long about verse 18 to the end, Paul's admonishing the Romans. He says in the Bill's Revised Standard Edition of Scripture that he knew God was God. You could look around and see it. It's obvious. But you people had to worship sticks and statues and stuff. So God has given you over to your stupidity. Paul never repeated himself, but in that part of Romans, he said the same thing three different times, given over to your stupidity. Then he lists 24 specific things that are stupid that people did. Sounds like what happens in Washington, D.C. every day. Stupid things. It is the ungodliness that caused this. It is the natural condition of man. Scripture, again, all the time refers to us as sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. The shepherd knows his sheep. We have to separate the sheep from the goats. The 99 is about a lost sheep. We're stupid. People are stupid. Stupid people, by the way, are more dangerous than evil people. Jesus said, no one comes to me except by the Father, which implies that I'm too dumb to find Jesus. I need God to nudge me and use the Holy Spirit to get me there. So be it. What do I do about it? Well, we can repent. We can come to our senses. We can realize that we need to attend to the things we were supposed to attend to. This country was founded 400 years ago to glorify Jesus Christ. Ask a pilgrim. Why do you think they rode those big boats? So they could come here and worship Jesus in the way they wanted to. The rest of the world still sees us as a Christian nation. I don't care what former presidents have to say about it. We are a Christian nation. Therefore, we need to operate our Christian nation under God's guidance and providence. And that means that we have a role to play in supervising our own government through the grand jury and the militia to see to it that things operate correctly. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and fall on their knees and pray, I will heal their land. And so in Tactical Civics, we talk about repentance. But repentance is an action word. And some of the first thing we have to do is we have to learn what we forgot. You know, I have a 40-year-old reading the Constitution. He says, I never read this before. I said, didn't you? I'll bet you know the rules of golf, though. And we both laughed, but it's the truth. We know all kinds of stuff that's useless, but we don't know our own governing documents. When you tell them that numbers 15 and 16 in the Article 1 of the Constitution says that Congress shall provide resources for the militia, they go, so really, is that in there? Yeah, it is. If you tell them in the Fifth Amendment that you can't be taken to trial for a capital offense without a presentment of a grand jury, they go, is that in there? Yeah, it is. But they don't know what they don't know. And so to quote Jefferson, A man who expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization never was and never can be. And so at Tactical Civics, we aim to provide educational resources to help restore the citizenry to the knowledge base our forefathers had so that we can do what our forefathers intended. You know, Ben Franklin told the lady on the street at the convention in Philadelphia, she said, "What kind of government did you give us, Dr. Franklin?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it, madam." Well, the "if you can keep it" means that you have work to do. You have a garden to weed. You have chores to attend to. This isn't going to take care of itself. It is human nature to want someone else to do the work. You know, we put our kids on the bus and send them to school and expect to get citizens back in 12 years. They aren't going to know anything that you don't teach them yourselves. We expect the doctor to give us pills and make us well. We don't want to deal with exercise, nutrition, rest, or hydration. No, you have to attend your own health, too. You know your own body better than anybody else does, and you're not likely to poison yourself as maybe they will. We expect to send people to Harrisburg and Washington, Pennsylvania, it's Harrisburg anyway, and you know, we know them, it'll be all right, they're on our team. No, it won't be all right. You got to supervise them. And we expect the minister to read the scripture, talk to Jesus, let us know what was covered, and send me on my way. I got a picnic and a ball game later today. I'd like to get to it. No. Corporate education, corporate religion, corporate governance, and corporate medicine have all failed. We, the people, have responsibilities that we need to decide as God's repentant remnant to take up again. That's Tactical Civics in a nutshell. In 15 minutes. I think that was good, Pastor. You're up.
All right. Very, very good. Well, tomorrow night at Doers of the Word at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to look to sign some people up, because we know that across the country, many, many people are signing up to Tactical Civics for the very reason that you're talking about. We want to take our country back. And we're not just joking, Jack. And so tomorrow night, 6:30 at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio, we are having a meeting. Now, we're going to, you had a, I think it was about a 15-minute movie that you show. We're going to be showing two short ones tomorrow night.
Any of your listeners across the Republic that want to go tonight after the show, during the show, tomorrow, whenever, they can go to tacticalcivics.com, tacticalcivics.com, and on there they'll find an 11-minute movie that summarizes what we're doing. And below that, they'll find a big red button they can push. And if they have $5, they can join Tactical Civics. Now, there's an exclusion. If you are currently on the government payroll, we will supervise you. Don't quit your job if you're an honorable Christian. We need honorable Christians in government. But the people that aren't currently in government are going to do the supervision. Does that make sense, Pastor?
Makes all the sense in the world. Again, you know,
if you're working, if you're in Congress, we'll supervise you. But thanks for your service. When you're out, come and see us. But here's what you can do: you can promote us, you can help people join, you can praise us all day long. You know, if when Trump's president again, if I'm doing this phone call and he wants to call and cut in and promote Tactical Civics, we're going to let him. We can take all the promotion, but we're not going to have him buy a $5 website until he's no longer in government. That just makes sense to me. The employees don't get to supervise. They're not doing a good job supervising themselves now, so we're not going to continue it. Tacticalcivics.com, push the red button and join. The most information is available from within. Every book the founder, David Zuniga, has written, and I understand he's been on this program, is available on that website.
I'm probably going to have him one day next week. We may be doing something here. Let me just tell you this here. God's Word, the Bible, is very clear. It doesn't stutter, Bill. God gives us three main missions. And the first mission, of course, is called a Great Commission. You find that in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. To go out into all the world, and we go out and we preach the gospel, we witness, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and we teach the Word of God. That's mission one, first and foremost. Mission two, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word of the Bible teaches expressly, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And then the third point he tells you over in 2 Thessalonians that we are to hold to the traditions of the apostles, stand fast, not stand down, not give up our ground. Now, you see, here's what the Bible teaches very clearly, that the earth and the fullness thereof belong to God. The earth and the fullness, in fact, the universe belongs to God. And as born-again Christians, we are heirs of the kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus. So that means that our daddy's property belongs to us. Now, the world tells us out there that we are to sit back and shut up. You've got Al Gore and John Kerry and Obama Biden telling us that it's the environment. It's Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, that we have to worship Mother Earth, and we have too many people. Bill Gates says we got to eliminate a whole lot of these people. They're useless eaters. They're parasites on the back of Mother Gaia. But God's telling us to do something different. Now, if we fail to understand who we are, and that's what's been the problem, and the problem is so-called in the church, the real problem is the fact that the vast majority of what is called the church, those that have a profession of faith, really don't have a possession of salvation. The vast majority aren't saved, but they don't know that, okay? They would know it if they were to study the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. But the vast majority of them don't really realize. You see, you can't claim yourself. You say, well, I'm a born-again Christian, but I think a woman has the right to do whatever she wants. If it means killing her baby, she's got the right to kill her baby. But I am a Christian, and I don't see any problem with, live and let live. If people want to be sodomites or pedophiles, well, you know, that's showing kindness, right? No, God's Word of the Bible doesn't say that. God's Word of the Bible says it's an abomination in His sight, and you are the enemies of Christ and His children. But like he says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's been the problem. We have a whole lot of la-la landers wandering around out there, and they're clueless where it comes to the Bible, the Constitution, and their responsibilities to Almighty God first and then to each other. What do you think about all that?
Well, as commentary on what you said, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was the first white settler, came up the river in 1797. He was 63 years old. It was the eighth time he had moved in 40 years, so he had itchy feet. By virtue of his service in the Revolutionary War, he was granted 1,100 acres up here, a warrant of land, it was called. I live on that land. I am heritor to his legacy, as it were. And we view ourselves, we're owners, sure, but we're stewards. We care for the land. We're not a bunch of ignorant hillbillies looking to despoil the environment upon which we live. We care about it. We care about the water. We care about the wildlife. We care. And so somebody that doesn't live here, that's sticking their nose into our business, because they know, you know, they thought themselves wise, but they were as fools. They're not interested in the environment. They're interested in the resources and the money.
And control.
Right. Well, control for what end? The money. Why did Hillary want it to be in office? Clinton Global Initiative. It was a money train for them. When she lost, the money dried up. You know, it's very transparent. But again, the people, because they turned away from God, given over to stupidity, and they don't get it because they're not going to until they amend their ways. The sodomites, etc., that I believe is the goddess Ashrath. There were three that returned.
Ashtaroth, yeah.
Yeah, Baal, Ashtaroth, and Molech. And they came back with a vengeance because somebody opened the door and let them walk in. And that is demonic. I forget the Aramaic and all those words for it, but I know what it is when I see it. And they are in league with the enemy, the criminals, who wishes to continue to steal from us, to plunder. They don't want to work for it. They want to take it. We have to resist that. We simply have to resist that. And more to the point, we have to provide a structure of supervision, which was already available to us. It's been available the whole time, the county grand jury and the lawful militia, that we can use to put our house in order. I'll give you an example in the remaining couple of minutes I have. If you cut me off if I need cut off. Pennsylvania legislator takes an oath to uphold and support, defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Pennsylvania. In this, Pennsylvania, the Second Amendment concludes with, shall not be questioned. They aren't to talk about it. Just let it alone. A well-meaning but misguided legislator put forth a bill for a red flag law. We're concerned about Bill. He's not been himself lately. Somebody's called in anonymously. We're going to take his guns away from him so he doesn't hurt himself or anybody else because, you know, we care about him. That violates the oath of office of the person who put forth the bill. It's perjury when you violate your oath of office. An ambitious district attorney could bring that legislator to trial in their county of residence, but maybe the DA is on the same team, or maybe the DA wants to be a judge, or maybe the DA wants to go to the legislature later. And so they never pursue that. County grand jury could. I trust 25 blue-collar citizens in my county that have common sense to say that isn't right. They broke their oath. He needs to go to trial and stand trial for perjury. If he's convicted, he's going to lose his office, his property, and we'll have a special election. And I maintain when that happens once or twice, all the other ones are going to sit up straight in your chairs when we walk in the room. Again, Scripture says, when the master returns, comma, there's a moment. And it, you know, if I'm the owner, if this is my company, if this is my property, and those people work for me, and they do, then they need to be brought to heel, I guess is the phrase I'm going to use right now, because they work for us. Now, there's something else I need to say before I'm done, and this is coming from me. The enemy has two major tactics that they use. One is diversion. Hey, look over there. I think those are aliens. Distraction. What can I get you doing? Football's a great distraction. Ohio State, Penn State will play later this year, and I hope Penn State beats them, but let's face it, there's some folks get all deep involved in that, or the Browns, or the Bengals, or whatever. It's a distraction when you're supposed to be doing other work. If all your chores are done, maybe you could watch the football game or listen on the radio, or whatever the distraction is. The other one is division. Every delinquent teenager knows if they can get mom and dad to start arguing, they won't be looking into the sketchy stuff that kid was doing this past weekend. So, too, the enemy, people that are stealing from us, gets us arguing back and forth between and among ourselves. My dad's 92 years old. I'm living here with him, taking care of him, my wife and I. He's a Democrat, has been his whole life. I am not. We don't fight over it because they're stealing from him, too. They don't care that he's a Democrat. They don't care if he's not registered. The criminals steal from everyone.
All right, Bill, we're up against a hard break. You just stay right there, and this is going to be a short break. When we come back, we'll pick it up right there. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.